Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. How do you get along with others? And how do they get along with you? What are your boundaries? You have good ones? What are they? We can learn more about our boundaries and how to manage a life with a bunch of different people who have different purposes and different priorities, and maybe they're not ours. So we're going to find out how to be more true to ourselves. And to do that, I'm again interviewing the author of the book, Find and Follow Your Inner Compass, because that's really the way to do it. And that's Barbara Berger. Barbara, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Yes. So you work with people every day.
Yes.
And they come to you because of your books. Mm-hmm. And they know that that's the way you're going to help them.
Maybe.
Or do your best. So what experiences have you had that?
Well, we could start by saying that nearly everyone who comes to me, and it's true of all of us, that the biggest challenges in our lives are our relationships with other people. We might have health issues and we might have money issues, but the top three, the other is the people issues.
And that's all that really counts, right? Because
how do we relate to our fellow human beings?
Right. Because at our funerals, when people give eulogies, that's almost all they talk about.
Exactly. They don't talk about the other stuff. So it's how do we relate? And most of our problems are people problems. So I do coach people every day, and either it's, you know, with their partner, with their family, with their colleagues at work, with their friends. I mean, it's this whole thing. How do we navigate realistically, constructively, diplomatically, skillfully in a universe, in a world where there's such diversity? In other words, the reality is we're all different. We all have our own backgrounds. We have our own, the programming we come from, the country we come from, the religion, the political party we belong to. So the diversity of humankind is, as we have discovered, endless. So the challenge is not, we can't change that because reality is what it is. But the challenge is, how do we navigate skillfully and respect the diversity and respect our fellow human beings, but still communicate constructively and hopefully create space where we can all exist peacefully?
Well, we want our communications to be at a high level of awareness and mindfulness. That you know, people are respectful of each other and listen to each other and are open-minded to the point where, you know, they're willing to hear other opinions, etc. Not everybody is like that.
That would be really nice.
You know, I've had married people, usually one of the partners comes to me and needs help. And I'd say, well, you might need some help, but it takes two of you in the marriage to make it work. How's your partner doing? And they'll say, well, my partner doesn't seem to care or isn't willing to talk about it. And now what?
That's your challenge. Well, I think, again, the thing is, first of all, we have to get real about boundaries. Let's talk a little bit about healthy boundaries. And again, everything that I do when I coach people and also in all my books, it's always based on the observation of what is reality. So we have these basic mechanisms, the nature of reality, the way the setup is here, not the way we would like it to be. And healthy boundaries is actually a recognition of the fact that you're you, and you're in you, and you have your thoughts and your emotions and your beliefs based on your background, the way you were programmed, everything that formed you, your human design, whatever you want to call it, all the things that influenced you, but you're Peter, and you're in Peter, and you have your own subjective experience of life, your own unique way of looking at everything. And I'm Barbara, and I'm in me, and I have my thoughts and my emotions also based on my background, where I grew up, what my parents were like, where I went to school, the country I was born. So there's a multitude of influence that form each one of us. But we're separate. The reality is we're separate. And therefore, if we can see that you're you and you're in you and I'm me and I'm in me, there is a natural boundary between us. I usually say to people when I coach them, if you would imagine it's like a tennis court, you know, you have your side of the net and I have my side of the net, but there is this net. And so healthy boundaries is when we understand the setup that you have your side of the net and I have my side of the net, and that we don't encroach, we don't go over to the other person's side of the net without their permission. That's my definition of healthy boundaries. In other words, if someone violates your boundaries, in other words, they enter your space, and the most common way of entering someone else's space is giving them advice when they didn't ask for it, telling them how to live their life when they didn't ask for them, saying that you know better than they do how they feel. In other words, that's all of that behavior is boundary violations. So it's
right. And some people will have much broader boundaries than others. And so if we're people who don't have that big a boundary, who are much more open to, let's call it, transgressions.
Well, again, okay, so let's just, again, so that's a really tricky way that you're expressing it. So in other words, if we go back to the model that I just said, this about your side of the net and my side of the net, if someone would, what you're talking about, allowing people to enter your space, that's a really tricky thing for a lot of people, because is it because you're not assertive? Is it because you're a doormat? Is it because you're a people pleaser? Or do you really want this person to come into your space? It's a very important question.
Right, and it might also be because I trust myself to manage another person's behavior, and I believe in myself, so I don't allow somebody to use that space inappropriately.
Well, but then again, you have a healthy boundary.
Yes, but it could be smaller than another person's boundary.
I'm not quite sure I follow you. I mean, well, either you...
People might, you know, behave in a way that I can say, thank you for sharing, period.
Yeah, well, that's having nice. A healthy boundary.
Right. But other people might find offense in it and then get upset about it.
Okay, well, again, so now you're talking about taking responsibility for another person's reaction to, if you're a skillful, diplomatic, constructive, and set a healthy boundary, the way another person reacts, that's their business.
Right.
So again, one of the big problems, again, I coach people every day, either people are people pleasers, doormats, or non-assertive, can't take care of themselves, or they have the other behavior, which you're talking about, being over-responsible. In other words, thinking somehow that you're responsible for another person's reactions, and you're not. Because, if we go back to the understanding that we can't get inside of another person's head and think and feel for them, which we can't. We've all tried, but we know we can't. If we cannot get inside another person and control their thinking or their feelings, we cannot possibly be responsible for their happiness.
Right, but we all have different levels of behavior towards that. And for instance, my wife and I are very different. She's much more boundary conscious. Mm-hmm. And she says to me, oh, you have so much more patience for people than I do.
Okay. And but again,
she doesn't see me really being abused by people so much as I give people maybe, let's say, more room to hang themselves.
Well, again, being tolerant and allowing, in other words, and being having empathy and being compassionate and allowing other people to tell you their stuff. I mean, but it's still, it's your decision. So that's not a boundary violation as long as you are comfortable with, again, but it's a question about your integrity. In other words, if you're violating your integrity, if you're not assertive enough to say when it's enough for you, then you have a problem.
Right.
Again, I always say to people with this, with the boundary thing, that we all, most of us do both of it. We can either be the aggressor, in other words, the person who violates someone else's boundaries without their permission, or we can be the passive person who's, our boundaries are being violated and we're not assertive enough to set a healthy boundary. So it, the behavior is both ways in a lot of people, but in some couples that I coach, it's obviously the one is the boundary violator and the other one is the non-assertive. So it's different. Some relationships, it's really clear that the one is the one way and the other is the other way. And they're always a good match, the aggressor and the passive one together. Because once the passive person becomes more assertive, the more aggressive one, you force the other person to change their behavior because you won't accept it anymore. And usually either there'll be a change or they'll part.
Yeah. I mean, my wife did that with me years ago.
She said,
you know, you want more of my cooperation, then if you're the last person out of bed in the morning, you make it.
Healthy boundaries.
Yeah, I appreciated that.
Good.
I try not to be the last one out of bed in the morning.
Well, again, when I coach couples, I always say that one of the, I have my Barbara Berger's four magic points for good couple relationships. And one of them is that we have to have a certain level of shared values. If our values and our ideas about the way we want to live are too far apart, it's really challenging. For example, I had this one couple, it was actually the woman. She wanted to have an open relationship because she wanted to have sex with lots of men. And he wanted a monogamous relationship. He wanted only to have sex with her. And so they came to me for counseling and he was really depressed because she was seeing other guys and the whole thing like that. But again, the problem was, it's not so much right or wrong, but they were too far away from each other.
Yes.
Their value systems were too far away from each other. Actually, the story is really funny. In the he was so depressed, he was going to commit suicide. And then he started going to counseling with me. And eventually, he got his realization. And then he decided, okay, I'll do it. But I want to have sex with a lot of other women, too. And then she freaked out. She didn't want
it. Interesting.
In the end, they got divorced. But again, my point here was more that it wasn't so much who was right or wrong. It's just that the gap, the distance between the values was just too much.
Yes.
So it seems to me that that's one of the key points in good relationships, that there, again, not that we don't have our differences, but there has to be certain things which at least we're kind of in the neighborhood of each other.
I think that's so important, is to be able to evaluate what qualities you're willing to have in your life or not. And if somebody can't agree with that, maybe it's an inappropriate relationship.
That's an excellent point. I mean, I would call that integrity, or I would call it, as I say in my latest book, Finding and Follow Your Inner Compass. In other words, we each have, I don't know what you would call it, our soul essence, our higher self, the thing that's in harmony with our spiritual journey in this lifetime. And of course, we have to learn to compromise and get along with other people. But if we go too far away from our inner compass or our integrity, whatever you want to call it, then the warning signals, the alarm bells start to ring. And that's what you're talking about. There has to be a certain sort of nearness to our partner.
Right. And that essence is very important. And I come across that a lot with clients, couples that want that help to understand their unique different essences. Hmm. And that's where I'll use human design or the cards to look at how they're born. Mm-hmm. Who are they born to be, who they can't be anybody else. This is their essence. Mm-hmm. And then have them face each other about the details And mm-hmm. my wife and I worked on that for years because we're mm-hmm. born so different from each other, mm-hmm. and find that it's an interesting complement that we can, you know, be very interested in each other because we're so different from each other.
Mm. You know? But I mean, again, if you could say that, if we say that each one of us is a unique manifestation of the God force, that, I mean, so yes. so. The basic, you could say that if God is good and God is all, and he is individualized in each one of us, so the higher we are in consciousness, the more we are able to live comfortably with, as you just say, you and your wife have obviously worked on this and have gotten to a place where you can embrace more or less, you're laughing, but more or less still, embrace.
Still work on it. You know, yeah, it's like...
But again, just the awareness of it says a lot about how high in consciousness you are. I'm not saying that it's not difficult, but just to be able to understand that that's the nature of this existence and that we're working on it, I mean, that it's respectful. I really respect you for that.
Well, you know, it's frustrating at times because, for instance, she loves to go to the movies and the theater and eat out, and I'm not, I mean, I love entertainment, but I don't initiate going out for it. Mm. And she's always making plans, even for vacations, and you know, that's her.
Again, if apparently you've been together for so long, so you must, I call it, can we find a workable compromise?
Well, I cooperate. It's just that she says, why can't you initiate these things? And it's like, no, I just don't think of it the way you do. And so, you know, we're different that way. So that's just one example of so many, many, many different ways that we're all different.
But again, as far as I can see, the most important point in my 4 points for good couple relationships, the fourth point is, can we treat each other respectfully, especially when we disagree? So in other words, without being able to create a safe space where we can meet and discuss our difficulties, it's really challenging. I mean, the couples who come to me who don't make it are the ones who have not figured that one out. I remember I had this other couple. I coach people in assertiveness and how to communicate assertively and how to set boundaries. And there was a couple here, and the man and the woman, and I was talking to him about how to reply constructively and assertively when she said something he didn't like. And I have this technique, I call it the sandwich technique, where you, first of all, no matter what your partner says, you acknowledge that you hear what they're saying. In other words, I hear what you're saying. You're not saying I think you're right, but you're acknowledging that you hear the other person. Thank you for your input, or it's really interesting to hear what you think, or what some, you say something so the other person knows you're listening. And then after that, you come with your reply, and you use the word and, you don't say but, you say and, because that's more inclusive. I feel differently about it. And then you come with your bit. And the guy, he said to me when I was coaching him and explaining, I said, but Barbara, nobody talks like that. And I said, you're right. That's the problem. We don't talk like that. And he started laughing. And it was like he got his realization. And from that moment on, he started doing it, and they made it, this couple. And that's, they came great. Back and told me about their conversations. And when they disagree, they do this little thing that Barbara taught them, and they say, they look at each other and they start laughing, and then they get on with it. So,
well, it has to do with intelligent communication.
Exactly.
And I think that there are a lot of boundary issues in language, and people use language in abusive ways sometimes.
Absolutely.
It's totally inappropriate, and they don't realize it because they probably have grown up that way.
Exactly. I totally agree with that.
Being by parents, so that when they're arguing with a partner, they start demeaning the partner.
Exactly. That's one of the really grave boundary violations. And again, that's why I also teach people, because you have to if you, especially when you have been programmed, as you say, from childhood, you've grown up in a home where you've never learned this, it demands an effort, first of all, to be able to identify what boundary violations are as a verbal boundary violations, and then to know what is healthy behavior in relationship to that. Right. So going back to what you're saying, calling people names, I said abusive language, giving people unasked for advice, telling people that you know better than they do how they feel. These are the common boundary violations. Making another person's choices wrong, commenting on their lifestyle, their appearance, all of these things can be highly abusive, as you say.
Right, the way it's presented.
The way it's presented. It's real. That's also another really important point. If you're skillful at communicating, and if you know how to speak in a more constructive, diplomatic way, basically you can say anything.
But there are many times where we shouldn't say anything.
Well, that's true too. But if you are skillful, if you listen, for example, I always say to people, go online and listen to some of the interviews with the Dalai Lama. He's one of my big heroes. Even though he has very strong ideas about everything, he always starts with being so inclusive. He always says, you know, very complicated issue. Humankind has been struggling with this for centuries. No easy answers. He always sort of sets the scene and makes everyone sort of relax, you know, that nobody really knows the answer to this and it's really, really difficult stuff. And then he always says, but I believe if we sit down together, discuss kindly, we will, you know, so he sort of sets the stage that includes everybody has a right to be here, everybody has an opinion, but if we're kind to each other, maybe we'll figure this out.
Right.
Maybe.
He's non-combative.
Exactly.
And I think that's really, it's hard to not be that way when you're in the middle of an emotional upset with people, to try to find a way that's non-combative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to think that way sometimes because you feel...
Well, I always, when I coach people and I say that when you know you're getting to that point, and I've had couples really use this technique very, very successfully, I say that they have to agree in advance after they've been to me that they're going to do what I call the timeout card. And they have to agree in advance that if they're having a discussion and one of the partners says time out, that they have decided in advance that they're both going to respect it. And the timeout principle is we walk away from each other. He goes in the one room or she goes take a walk. We separate, and it's at least minimum 15 minutes.
Right.
At least, hopefully a half hour cooling off period. So you don't get into what you're talking about where you get so emotional that you're going to end up doing more damage than good. And I have noticed, I remember I had one couple where they lived in a big house, and in the laundry room downstairs, they had a sign on the door, the timeout room. And when they started, they said, one of them said timeout, and the one person went down there and the other one went upstairs, and that worked for them.
But that's one way of doing it, is to have that breadth of time. Another way, perhaps, is just to count to 10, because it creates mindfulness.
Yeah.
It just separates yourself from the immediate upset.
Yes, and, that would be wonderful.
Right. And so a lot of it is to be clear within ourselves, to be mindful of objectivity.
I think the other thing that's really an important, again, but that has to do a lot with doing inner work more and more, but how the fact that other people have different opinions also about us, the less defensive you are, the easier it is to be mindful about what's going on.
Or it depends how paranoid you might be.
Exactly. So, but in other words, that why is criticism so frightening?
Well, it depends on how much self-love you have or not.
But I also say there's another thing about criticism. If you think about criticism, there's basically only three ways you can react. If I say to you, Peter, here's an example. If I say to you, Peter.
Uh-oh, what am I going to hear now?
I'm going to say to you, okay, Peter, you're an elephant.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Oh, how can you and think so that
there's, so only three ways you can react. The first way you can react is you look at yourself and you say, yeah, I am an elephant. So you say, you're right, Barbara. So that's not a problem. The second way is you look at yourself and you say, no, I'm not an elephant. I'm a man. And so that's not a problem either. But the third way is when you get upset and say, oh, how could you say that about me? That's so cruel. What do you mean by? But the third way is actually always a sign that you haven't actually looked at it yourself and decided whether this statement is true or not. Because right. once
you learn from it.
Exactly. If it's true, you can say, okay, I can see what you mean. I am an elephant.
Yeah.
So, you know, or else I have looked. I really have looked. I'm definitely not an elephant. So once you have investigated it yourself, it's like, okay.
All right. I'm going to walk around the rest of the day being an elephant. So we're really getting near the end of the show. And it's always so much fun to talk with you and learn from you.
Let me just say to the readers, for more about constructive communications, in these two books of mine, the second part of my new book, Find and Follow Your Inner Compass, is only about this constructive communications, how to speak skillfully with people who are criticizing you or who may disapprove of your choices and all that. So that's this book. And then this book, Are You Happy Now? And chapter 3 of this book is also just about healthy boundaries. And so the things we've been talking about and the techniques I recommended are in these two books.
And you also have a website.
Yes. Beam Team, BEAMTEAM.com. We're here to beam you up. Beam
Team.
Yeah, and right now we're giving away a free ebook of mine called The Mental Laws, Understanding the Way the Mind Works. So if you go into beamteam.com, we'll send you, click on that link and we'll send you a free book.
This is great. Barbara Berger, I always love talking with you. Thanks so much. And hopefully you'll be back on Energy Stew soon.
Thank you for having me, Peter.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at Peter@HeartRiver, HEARTRiver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.